Castle can't be with us today, so he will be participating on briefs for all of today's cases except for the very last case of the day, which is State v. Sean L. Cross. Justice Castle is recused on that case. With that information in mind, we will begin arguments. The first argument of the day is State v. Robin J. Wood. Mr. McGaugh, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor.
You may proceed.
Thank you. May it please the Court. My name is Jim McGaugh, appearing on behalf of Ms. Robin Wood. In this case, we're asking the Court to really distinguish the difference between what is bad behavior versus what is criminal conduct. My client worked at Boys Town. She was charged with a sexual assault charge, 28-322.44, subsection 2. And that section really deals with if somebody subjects a ward to any sexual contact. So the question in the case really centers around the word subjects. At trial, the testimony of the 17-year-old victim was that he was the initial aggressor, that he went into the room after taking my client's keys at Boys Town in one of the facilities, that he is the one that removed his clothing, that he is the one that removed her clothing. There was some testimony that she may have undid his pants, but the uncontroverted evidence was that he removed his clothing and her clothing, that he got on top of her, and that he's the one that inserted his penis into her vagina, that she did not do anything to encourage that, not do anything to assist that, not do anything to really participate in that. The jury instruction that was provided to the jury, jury instruction number 3, the Court indicated that part of the element of the offense was that the defendant subjected the victim to sexual penetration. And then in jury instruction number 6, the Court instructed the jury that subject means to bring under control or dominion.
Counsel, did you object to the jury instructions?
I did not.
Okay. So you were satisfied with dominion and control?
To bring under dominion and control, yes, Your Honor.
But that's a narrower definition than what we've approved, isn't it, on subject?
Could be.
So if you had a narrower definition than what should have been given, and the jury still found your client guilty, how is there error in this case?
There's error in the case in two ways, Judge. First is we filed a motion for new trial saying that the evidence or the jury verdict was contrary to the law based upon the facts of the case, and then also on an insufficiency of the evidence case. There was no evidence. There was not even any argument by the state that my client did anything to subject him to penetration on the day in question, whether we use the broader definition or the definition that was given by the court of jury instruction number 6. Instead, the state argued the case that she created a scenario that she somehow had flirted with him in the past and she put something into action. She put a course of conduct into action that ultimately culminated in the sexual penetration that occurred on that day. But the statute clearly doesn't provide for that kind of situation. And in our brief, we've discussed a number of other statutes. For instance, the contributing to the delinquency of a minor statute that talks about encouraging somebody to contribute. The child abuse statute that talks about placing a child in a position that permits some kind of harm, or the tampering statute that criminalizes any attempts to induce somebody to give false testimony or false information. So the legislators clearly made a decision not to use words of encourage or permit or attempt or place in a situation, and instead on this very specific statute, they've focused solely on the word subject.
What about the sentence in the statute that says it is not a defense to a charge under this section that the protected individual consented to such sexual penetration or sexual contact? What's the significance of that?
I don't think it has any significance to this particular fact pattern or to the way that this particular case was argued. I think that arguably there was some element of consent, but the statute clearly forbids that from being a defense. Instead, we focused on the state didn't prove the element. And the essential element is that the defendant subjected this victim to sexual penetration. So ultimately, whether there's consent or not and the statute forbids it, our position on the argument is that that really wasn't relevant one way or another. It only came down to, did the state offer any evidence? Was there any facts in this record that supported that she subjected him to sexual penetration?
Counsel, how is this any different than State versus Loyuk, where we define what subjected means, and in that case, the Department of Corrections employee consented to having sex with the person who was under the jurisdiction of the Department of Corrections under a very similar statute. How's this case any different?
I don't remember that in that particular case, Your Honor, that there was any real question about what actions the defendant took in the case. And in this case, there's no evidence, no facts, in which anybody can argue that the defendant did anything to create the sexual penetration.
Then doesn't that defeat the purpose of the statute if the employee of the institution can simply say, well, I just did nothing, and the other party, I mean, then how do you, would the statute wouldn't have any validity then?
Well, I understand that argument, and I'm not unsympathetic to that argument, but I think that what we're relying upon is the long jurisprudence of this court indicating that every word in the statute is to be given its ordinary meaning. There is nothing superfluous, no words that are superfluous in the statute. And I think that the legislators may have created this issue, but it is an issue nonetheless when they use that word and choose not to use another word. So I think that this is not, any ruling that the court makes in this case, I don't think it's going to have a wide sweeping effectiveness to a broad base of cases, because I think this is a very unique fact pattern where you've got a female employee that is charged with this kind of offense, and you couple that with the fact that there is no evidence that she did anything to subject him to sexual penetration.
Do you have, in terms of wordsmithing this, do you have a continuum of words that would go from whatever is force down to less force? Because you're giving us some other words that are in statutes, like engages, performs, subjects. How does subject compare to these other descriptions?
I think
in terms of an intentional crime.
Well, if I understand your question, Your Honor, the reason that we've articulated the different statutes is because of the way that the case was argued. The state argued that my client put him in this position, which culminated, and by giving him special attention and by flirting with him, that then equaled subjects. And so I used it as an illustrative purpose to say, if that was the intent of the legislators, then if somebody's paying somebody special attention or takes them into a room or does anything that ultimately culminates in that, then they could have used those words to indicate that.
What words would be more
encourage,
aggressive, for lack of a better expression?
I would say encourage or permits or places in a situation. Any of those would have, I wouldn't be here. I don't know that my client would have been charged. I take that back. My client would have been charged, but I don't know that I would have been here on an appellate argument if the statute had that kind of broad-based interpretation that the state, in which the state argued this case.
But, I mean, you're giving us a word salad here, and the one you're focused is on subjected, and you don't think that element was proven.
Correct. Correct. That's a very specific word.
Okay.
That has a very specific meaning, and as Justice Kelch indicated, had a more limited meaning in this particular case. And even with that more limited meaning, there was no evidence that justified that jury verdict. And so, either from a sufficiency of the evidence standpoint, or from a motion for new trial standpoint, that conviction should be overturned. And I ask to save the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. List, good morning to you.
Good morning. May it please the court, Nathan List, Assistant Attorney General, appearing on behalf of the Appellate of the State of Nebraska. The state maintains that the evidence was sufficient in this case. I'm not going to rehash all the evidence, but previously stated, the evidence established that the defendant, who was an employee of Boys Town, had sex with the victim, who was a state ward and a juvenile resident of Boys Town, and the record established that she actively and willingly participated in sexual intercourse collected by both.
Was she the aggressor here?
Well, she participated. I don't know if I would go as far as to call her the aggressor. I don't think the initiator or the aggressor is material, given that the statute itself provides.
So what does subjects mean?
Well, I looking at State v. Boyuk, which I admittedly overlooked and neglected to cite in my brief, I apologize, but reading that case, I read that to mean that participating in the sexual intercourse alone is sufficient to establish that the defendant subjected the victim to sexual penetration. That was this court's holding in that case, and I would agree with that. And the instruction given in that case was just simply that the defendant subjected the victim to sexual penetration, period. No further
counsel,
expansion.
What do we do with the fact that the judge used the wrong definition? Because it's State versus Louyuk, it's L-O-U-Y-U-K. It's a 2015 case. This court said subject is to cause to undergo the action of something specified. And we found that broader definition should have been used rather than under control or dominion, as in this case. And neither of you have assigned the jury instructions as error. But what do we do with the fact that the judge used the wrong definition? Although it's a narrower definition, what do we do with that?
Well, I guess that's up to the court, since the propriety of the jury instructions hasn't been assigned as error. It's a matter of whether or not you're going to undertake that issue within the context of a sufficiency argument. If you do so, which we have no problem with, I think clarification would be helpful here, because I think the court's instruction was incorrect in this case. I think it was arguably incorrect.
Was it more favorable to the defendant?
It was, yes. Yeah,
in terms of explaining the burden on the state?
Right. Yeah, I think it put a higher burden on the state. When we look at Blake, I mean, it would have been sufficient to simply use the term subjected to sexual penetration. And so with what happened here, it really made it more difficult for the state. So I don't think there's any prejudicial effect to the defendant in this case. But if the court's willing and inclined to address the issue, yeah, I think some clarification would be helpful. And I guess...
My next question is, what do we review? Do we review... I mean, how do we review an incorrect jury instruction? Do we apply the correct one and still determine whether or not the evidence was sufficient, or do we review it under what was actually used? I mean, do you have any suggestions there?
Well, I mean, given that a particular instruction was given here, I guess at least from a sufficiency standpoint, I think we need to walk through that in light of the instruction given and articulate whether or not the evidence was sufficient, because that's the instruction the jury had. But what the court did in Loyola was lay out the definition of what would be the perceived correct definition of subject in the context of sufficiency. And I guess you could do the same and just reiterate or encourage that an instruction of that nature should be used in the future, or simply the instruction that was approved in Loyuk that, you know, just using the language alone, that subjected to sexual penetration alone is sufficient, which is what this court upheld in Loyuk. So, I mean, I guess it's up to the court in terms of what you think is most appropriate. In my view, I think just the terms alone, subjected to sexual penetration, would be sufficient. I think that's those are terms of common use and understanding that a jury doesn't necessarily need any elaboration on that. And I assume the court agreed, given that it upheld that in Loyuk. But if you conclude something more is necessary and should be provided for future cases, I think the definition that this court laid out in the sufficiency context in Loyuk that you articulated would work as well. I think that's not the definition subject. I think it's more appropriate than the one that the court used in this case. The one used here doesn't seem to fit in the context subject as it's used in this statute. But in light of the evidence adduced and the applicable law and the instructions given, we would submit that the evidence was sufficient in this case. As far as the second assigned error, there are no further questions on the first. As far as the denial of the motion in limine, that it's not properly before this court, given that the motion in limine was not renewed and the trial court's ruling record before us. There are no further questions. We would ask that you to correct that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
45 seconds.
We have 45 seconds, Mr. McGaugh.
Thank you. As far as the second issue, the motion in limine, counsel's correct. It doesn't appear that that was preserved, so that would just be an issue of plain error. The court, however, never made a ruling on the record regarding that particular issue, and we were asking the court for a 404 hearing in regards to that issue, which the court just denied the 404 hearing and just denied the motion. So that's all I have, unless there's any other questions on either other issue.
I'm a little confused when you say the court didn't rule on it, but you said the court denied it.
Well,
isn't that contradictory?
There's no indication in the record where the court says, the only conversation about the motion that would be on the record is the court says, I'm going to think about it overnight and I'll let you know. And then the next thing that happens is the evidence comes in. So there's no ruling on the record, but the court did deny the motion in limine.
Even if the court had denied the motion in limine on the record, isn't our case law pretty clear that it still has to be objected to a trial?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next case of the day is...